Hi there and welcome to another one of my podcasts. I had a lot of trouble getting the link onto the podcast page last month. I hope that it's now up there and I hope that I don't have the same problem with this one. Recently I've been giving you some quite rare opera singers, people of whom I've never heard, let alone ordinary non-record collecting people. But this time I'm going to start with a legend. I've only given you a couple of tracks of Luisa Tetrazzini. She was born in 1871, survived till 1940, and actually gave her last performances in London in 1934, which I know because I happen to have a program for it. She became huge. I mean, she is famous for having said, "Some singers have got the figure, Tetrazzini's got the voice," which is true. A famous Wagnerian soprano once said that it was the biggest voice she'd ever heard. She must have had a huge voice, which doesn't often really come across on acoustic recordings. Great pity that she didn't record after 1925. I have a horrible feeling that the reason for that was the fact that she had the figure no more, and that therefore people didn't want to record her. I don't know. It says on Wikipedia that she recorded till 1920. The track I'm going to give you is from 1922. The difference is that this track was never released. It's just Tetrazzini and a guitar. Maybe that's why. She's famous for incredible singing of florid arias, but this is very different. Maybe, again, that's why it wasn't released. One of the reasons I've chosen this recording is because in my last podcast, I played you a famous record by Mari Lloyd, "Every Little Movement Has a Meaning of Its Own." It was not uncommon that Italian popular songs were turned into musical songs, the most famous one being "Vieni sul mar," which became "Two Lovely Black Eyes." This seems to be the same thing. It seems to be from some sort of, I don't know quite what, popular operetta or whatever called "Toto Amici," and it's some sort of little popular song, as I say, just accompanied with a guitar. But it's quite clear when you get to the chorus that the tune is the same as "Every Little Movement Has a Meaning of Its Own," but of course delivered in a very, very different style to that of Mari Lloyd, who was being suggestive, etc. I have no idea what the Italian words are because I don't speak Italian. So this is a very unusual recording of Tetrazzini. No doubt I'll play you some more normal ones in future programs, but this is just about the last recording that Tetrazzini made, certainly the last session. And it's sad that the record was never issued at the time, but at least it wasn't destroyed and we can hear it. The good thing about having her with just a guitar is you can hear her voice even on an acoustic recording really clearly. So this is Tetrazzini in lighter, playful mood, recorded on the 13th of September 1922 in London, but never issued. Tetrazzini. Thank you. Now, George Wilde Galvin was born 11 years before Tetrazzini, 1860, but he was better known, of course, as Dan Leno, one of the biggest stars of the late Victorian musical. He also performed in pantomimes and was famous for his clog dancing, his patter, his silly songs, and all sorts of mainly comedic performance. He performed for Edward VII at Sandringham, and he was, in short, one of the biggest stars in musicals. Sadly, towards the end of his life, although he did lots of charitable things to help less successful performers and other charities, his career was limited because of his comedy. He really would have liked to have played in Shakespeare, but he was turned down because they assumed that he wouldn't be able to act that way because he was in comedy. People are always like that. Once they see you in one light, that's what they think you can do and don't think you can do anything else. Worse still, by the beginning of the 20th century, he started behaving in a strange way and gradually had a complete breakdown in 1903 and was committed finally to a lunatic asylum, and he died just a year later. What caused all of this, I'm not sure. Happily, his records show no sign of this, some of them as late as 1903, the year that everything went wrong for him. The one I'm going to play you today, however, was recorded in 1901, almost the beginning of the 78 RPM era. Quite clear though, and it's a little comedy routine he used to do based on a very famous tourist attraction in London, still there, the Tower of London itself. So let's all go back to the Music Hall of London, way back at the beginning of Edward VII's reign, Dan Leno performing his famous The Tower of London sketch.
Not a place in all the land like the good old Tower of London, where everything is awfully grand in the glorious Tower of London. For the walls are high and the dungeons deep, refreshments there are very, very cheap, but the beer it is not warranted to keep in the good old Tower of London. Sing hey, sing ho, for the beer in the Tower of London. There's no place on the face of the earth like the Tower of London. If you've never been there, go again. It's a glorious place. Everything old. Now, in the first place, when you visit the Tower of London, it's free. But you have to pay a shilling to go in. And the first ancient item you see is the man that takes the money at the door. Then you pass through the refreshment room, which is the oldest refreshment room in the tower, and the only one. And there's some very ancient items in the refreshment room, such as the buns and ginger beer and the barmaids and whatnot. Good day, ladies. Do you wish to see the tower? Splendid day to see the tower, nice and gloomy. Oh, yes, I can show you around the tower. Of course, I'm not allowed to do so, but I can do so. Now, in the first place, this is the refreshment room. Of course, if you want anything in the refreshment room, of course, now is the time. You don't care for anything. No, thank you. Only as we go along, there's no oranges or ginger beer to be had, and of course, you feel faint, so you have to come back to the refreshment room. No, you don't care. No. Don't want anything. No, I do. Still, we'll proceed. Standing with our back to the refreshment room, we get a lovely view of the tower. Follow me, ladies. Standing with your back to the tower, you get a lovely view of the refreshment room. Now, you see that man over there? That's the sentry. He stands there night and day with his gun fixed, bayonet fixed, and his eye always on one spot. And that is the refreshment room. For it's a splendid time to see the empty house. Everything is free, and there's nothing for to pay. But if you haven't got a bob or two, you'd better stay away from the good old Tower of London. So.
Oh. Well, this seems to be developing into a podcast full of really famous people. And there can have been no one more famous in the last half a century than Frank Sinatra. Looking back, I've only given you a novelty record, which really wasn't very good. And I think something else, I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't one of his best records. I never really liked Frank Sinatra after he got sort of famous with the Rat Pack. There was something about him which was arrogant and said, look how cool I am. In his early days, he didn't seem to be like that. Something must have changed his personality. At least it appeared so. In 1943, there was a strike initiated by the Musicians Union. They really shot themselves in the foot because they continued to make records, even without musicians, by using a choir to back the singers. And it really led to the demise of big bands and to be replaced by solo singers, one of whom was, of course, Frank Sinatra himself. He sang a very nice ballad in one of his films, and as I say, he made a record of it in 1943. However, he must have recorded it again a year or two later with a full orchestral accompaniment, lots of violins, etc. And it's that version I'd like to give you now. So this is the young Frank Sinatra, sounding very different from the way he was later on, at least I think so, singing a lovely song called I Couldn't Sleep a Wink Last Night.
Because we had that silly fight, I thought my heart would break the whole night through. I knew that you'd be sorry, and I'm sorry too. I didn't have my favorite dream, the one in which I hold you tight. I had to call you up this morning to see if everything was still all right. Yes, I had to call you up this morning, 'cause I couldn't sleep a wink last night.
As I've said, this podcast is turning into a sort of tribute to legends of their time. And the gentleman I'm going to talk about now was certainly a legend in his side of music. There were several great operatic tenors who had benefited from cantorial training, that is, the training that goes with singers who sing religious music in synagogue. And indeed, those people are very proud of their vocal heritage. But there was one man who wasn't just a great opera singer who had studied that way, people like Joseph Schmidt and Hermann Jadlowka. great singers though they were. This gentleman was called Gershon Yitzchak Leibovich Sirota, and he was known as the Jewish Caruso. He was pretty much a contemporary of Caruso. I understand he was born a year later in 1874, but he survived till 1943. He made lots of records very early on, and unlike Caruso, he had a very, very secure top C. Most of his records in the early days were of Jewish liturgical music, and it's absolutely fantastic. But it only appeals to people who like that sort of music. Around 1907, when he would have been probably the height of his vocal powers, he made a couple of recordings of operatic arias, but I've never heard a copy of these records in good condition. And you hear his limitations, because he'd never studied opera. He's singing operatic arias almost as a sort of side hobby, and his approach to phrasing isn't really in the tradition of opera singing. Great singer though he was. His voice, however, is somewhere between Caruso and Tamagno, which is one hell of a place to be. Fantastic voice. I'm going to give you a recording he made in the late 20s, an electrical record. Caruso died at the age of 48. This is Sirota at the age of mid-50s, and it's a tune which Caruso himself recorded, called Pieta Signore, only for some reason or other, Sirota sings it in Hebrew, of all things. Nevertheless, it's wonderful, and you just get an idea of how great a voice he had. Had he decided to sing opera, who knows? Indeed, Caruso, having heard him, said, "I wish him well in his chosen career. I'm very grateful he's decided not to enter my arena," or words to that effect. So, we will have a track by Gershon Sirota. I should just add that the end of his life was terrible. He lived most of his life in Warsaw, and being Jewish, his last few years were in the Warsaw ghetto, in that wall that the Nazis put around the Jews. And I understand that he actually died during the Warsaw uprising. Apparently during the last year or two of his life, he'd go around begging for food in return for his singing some of his wonderful music. Anyway, here is Gershon Sirota singing Pieta Signore in the late 20s.
Oh!
And from the real thing, we moved to sound. You played the part of one of these cantors, one of these cousins, in a film which changed the history of show business because it was pretty much the first sound film ever made. The man's name when he was born was Asa Jolson, but of course everybody remembers him as Al Jolson. He wasn't just a singer, he was also a comedian, an occasional actor, and certainly a vaudevillian, and he would have regarded himself as an entertainer. Indeed, he billed himself as the world's greatest entertainer, which shows you what his ego was like. He wasn't a particularly nice person. Once he got famous, he'd send his agents around all the smaller variety shows, stole other comedians' material, and then sued them for stealing it from him. Not a nice person. This is a mark of his huge ego. That said, he was a major talent, alongside maybe Edith Piaf and Judy Garland. He had the ability, on occasion, to make an audience cry. That's how good he was. You could call him sentimental, you could call it emotional. But he had that something which you can't put into words, which some people have. And you see it in The Jazz Singer and his following film the next year called The Singing Fool, from which the track I'm going to give you, which was issued as a 78, came. I believe, I may be wrong about this, but I believe this 78 was actually taken from the soundtrack of the film. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I believe so. He, of course, has become more controversial in recent years because he appeared famously always in blackface, or almost always in blackface, blacked up. Remember, he was born in 1885, he died in 1950, and when he was growing up, minstrel shows were the norm. He didn't realise how racially insulting this was. Indeed, the BBC had black and white minstrel shows as late as the 1950s. To be fair to him, I don't think he intended any slight to black people, and he doesn't, in his performances, really play up the sort of racial stereotype thing for which minstrel shows were famous, making out that all black people were stupid, etc. So, to that extent, I exonerate him. And as I say, he was a man of his time. What one has to remember with Al Jolson is this. If we go back in time, there have been major male singers who encapsulate the whole feel of their time. If we go back to the 50s, it was Elvis Presley. Go back another 15 years, Frank Sinatra. Another 15 years, Bing Crosby. And another 15 years, and the big name was Al Jolson. Just as Frank and Bing appeared together, and Frank was the young guy, well, Al Jolson and Bing Crosby made records together when Bing was the young guy. So that's how big he was. He was enormously big. And towards the end of his life, he did a lot of work performing for US military people during World War II, and indeed after it. And they do say that one of the reasons he died in 1950 was sheer exhaustion after doing yet another one of these massive tours. He'd lost popularity for a while because he'd gone out of fashion until a film was made of his life in 1946 called The Jolson Story, wherein he sang, but the actor Larry Parks played the role of Al Jolson, just miming to Jolson's actual singing. And of course, his singing style was so individual that just about every impressionist there was did an impression of Al Jolson singing. It was a very distinctive style. In his later years, his voice deepened and became more rich. In a way, he became a better singer. But there you are. This, however, is one of those historic recordings that kicked off the sound film industry in Hollywood. This is from The Singing Fool, and it's Al Jolson singing Sonny Boy. I once went to see this film, and we were all sort of making fun of it because it was very dated. And I was with a school friend, I was very young at the time. And when Al Jolson sang Sonny Boy, suddenly my friend, who was, what were we, 17 years old, my friend sitting next to me was in tears. That's how powerful his performance could be. Anyway, here is the recording from the film. Al Jolson sings Sonny Boy in, I believe, 1928.
Climb up on my knees, Sonny Boy. for your own history, Sonny boy. You've no way of knowing, there's no way of showing what you mean to me, Sonny boy. When there are gray skies, I don't mind the gray skies. You may tell them a blue, Sonny boy. Friends may forsake me. Let them all forsake me. I still have you, Sonny boy. You're a saint from heaven, and I know your worth. You've made a heaven for me right here on earth. When I'm old and gray, dear, promise you won't stray, dear, for I love you so. I don't mind the gray skies. You make them blue, Sonny boy. Friends may forsake me. Let them all forsake me. I still have you, Sonny boy. Your sense from heaven, and I know your worth. Why, you made a heaven for me right here on earth. And the angels, they grew lonely, and they took you because they were lonely. Now I'm lonely too. Sonny boy.
Now, Flora Mae Augusta Flanagan was born 10 years at least before Al Jolson. She was born, however, in Australia, near Melbourne. She was the sixth of eight children, but her parents split up, and within a few years, her mother had married somebody called Thomas Ford. Meanwhile, Flora was growing up. She wasn't a sylph by any means ever, even when she was young. But she had something which got people's attention when she was on stage. And she was a girl with get up and go. And by the time she was 21, she moved to England, where she lived for the rest of her life. She'd had some success in musicals and variety shows in Australia. And now she set about attacking the British musical scene, and before very long, she was a huge success. She specialised in audience songs. She'd sing the song in her rich contralto voice, and they were the sort of songs that people could whistle and learn very easily, and then she got them to sing along the chorus with her. This is a great example of just one of those songs. It's called "Has Anybody Here Seen Kelly?" Anybody living a long time ago, maybe even today, will know this song. It's one of those songs that you sort of know and don't know why you know it, because you seem to be born knowing the tune. It's interesting because the verse to it starts as if they're going to sing "It's a Long Way to Tipperary," very similar sort of tune, and maybe because the person involved is Kelly, and therefore one assumes he was Irish. Well, enough of that. This is Flora Mae, or as she became known, Florrie Ford, pretty much at the height of her career, at the age of about 35, singing "Has Anybody Here Seen Kelly?" Recorded in 1909.
Has very pleasant smile. A friend upon a holiday, they went from Mona's Isle. They landed safe in London, but alas, it's sad to say, poor Kelly lost his little girl up the Goodchilly Way. She searched for him in vain, and then a pause began to fret. And it is the appeal she made to everyone she met. Has anybody here seen Kelly? K-double-L-Y. Has anybody here seen Kelly? Find him if you can. He's as bad as old Antonio. Left me on my own EO. Has anybody here seen Kelly? Kelly from the Isle of Man. When it started raining, she exclaimed, what shall I do? For Kelly had her ticket and her spending money too. She wandered over London like a hound upon the scent. At last she found herself outside the House of Parliament. She got among the suffragettes who chained her to the grill. And soon they heard her shouting in a voice both loud and shrill. Has anybody here seen Kelly? K-double-L-Y. Has anybody here seen Kelly? Find him if you can. He's as bad as old Antonio. Left me on my own EO. Has anybody here seen Kelly? Kelly from the Isle of Man, 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 man. Has anybody here seen Kelly? K-E-double-L-Y. Has anybody here seen Kelly? Find him if you can. He's as bad as old Antonio. Left me on my own EO. Has anybody here seen Kelly? Kelly from the Isle of Man.
Before I get to my track, I want to apologize if you can hear the sound of the fan that's been on throughout the making of this month's podcast. It's been so hot. I literally just wasn't able to sit at my computer without the fan being on. Sadly, I don't have air conditioning. That said, throughout this last year when I had no gigs, they're just beginning to return like a trickle now. But nevertheless, I've somehow managed to keep recording songs based on arrangements which I've been able to make with my other computer, the one I don't let go online, but just use for musical purposes. I've just finished another CD's worth of songs, and I'll give you one of them. It was recorded as recently as the 15th of June, 2021. And it's a song a lot of people will know from the 1950s, I think. It's called You Make Me Feel So Young, and I need to do that because I'm not so young anymore myself, that I like to feel young. Actually, I do, to be honest. So I leave you with this famous song, You Make Me Feel So Young. And until next time, as always, I say au revoir. You make me feel so young. You make me feel that spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon, just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots, running across the meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. So you make me feel so young.
You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel that spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon, just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across the meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. So you make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so, you make me feel so, you make me feel so young.